emails, and I don't see anybody raising their hand or slapping their hand. Anybody inside want to have a public comment? Okay. Moving on. A few minutes from last meeting. Everybody got the minutes from Bridget earlier. I know there were a couple of corrections. She sent out a correct with set. Any other additions, changes? I'd love a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I move we approve the minutes as presented.
Outstanding. Thank you. And the second?
I'll second.
Beautiful. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes as corrected, say
Aye.
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 Thank you. Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. Yay. All right, we're going to move on to the head of school report. Elias is in California straightening out paperwork for his citizenship, travel, and all that other fun stuff. I don't know. I can't see if he's on. He's not.
I'm on.
Okay. I don't know if you want to start and then hand it over to the rest of the team.
Yes, I'll
Step up.
start. I'll start. I'm currently in an office, so I had to. I won't be able to be the one to project it. So I'm going to need somebody from the SLT or the ELT to do that for me. They should do, be able to do it shortly for us. Let me see who said they're going to do it. I'm not sure. But it's shared with the whole team. I think Dr. Lukaku did it.
Yes, I did it. Yeah.
Thank you
Beautiful. Thank
so
you.
much.
Sure.
Okay, let's scroll to the main four objectives, please. Thank you. So for goal one, it's project updates. We're finalizing right now the heating capabilities of the original HVAC units and duct penetrations. Then we'll finalize the drawings to submit for permitting for building 27. We've had pretty good progress so far with getting our units that were already in place up and running again. So that's very, very good news because it will save us money on HVAC in the long run and help us to get under budget if we don't have to redo a lot of those units. And so far, it is looking good. The ELT has met with each of the schools to establish their goals for the year, both the academic goals and the cultural goals. The goals are directly aligned to their targets for success on high stakes testing, but more importantly, in service of pushing for literacy for all students at all levels. The plans are going to be shared out tonight by the specific program team leads. So you'll get to hear all about the plans and the goals and how they have aligned what we're doing this year to make sure that those outcomes are met for us. And this is also in alignment with what the Secretary of Education launched last week. Ken, thanks for coming. Shout out to Ken for coming all the way down to Dover and joining us at the literacy launch. And so this is very much by design. There's a lot of push for us to make sure that we are putting literacy first because literacy unlocks all subject matter. And so the plans are designed around literacy in that manner. Our third goal, we have open house coming up on November 6th. And so we've strategically aligned the date with the choice window for 2026, which opens up right around that same time. I believe it's either 2 days later or 2 days before, or it's right in that area. So that's going to help us a lot with being the last ones top of mind for everybody. So the open house is doing that. Now the school is using this as an opportunity to shift its focus to highly interactive activities and not passive things. So we're moving away from poster boards and trifolds and things like that and really immersing the families in what the experience is of being over here. We believe that this greater experience will further place us in a position where families will remember Odyssey when the choice window opens up and they will choose us, which is something we really look forward to having. On a side note, we did hit our enrollment target this year, and I think it's a little bit further down in the head of school report. So kudos to the whole team for being able to do that. That's a huge undertaking. And so part of doing that is always staying on the front end of making sure our families know just how much of a quality education it is when you come to Odyssey Charter School. So these open houses are an incredible opportunity for us to do that. The culture plans and the academic plans are the big focus right now. So the APs and the principals will share their school-wide plans verbally. Please, we ask that they didn't add to the plans in the sections here. We want them to speak to them. And of course, any questions that you have, you should definitely provide those straight to the team members so that they can provide you with that information. Yona, could you scroll down past the academic updates and go to the bottom part? Because the academic updates will be done by the team. Thank you. So from the facilities standpoint, first of all, the team's done a phenomenal job supporting the grand opening and the new building while also prepping the entire campus. They're now focusing on the very specific individual building needs, and they're doing it building by building and communicating out whatever it is that those particular buildings need. Food service is working with their transition, you know, to making sure that their breakfasts and lunches are as efficient as possible so that our students can still have as much recess time as possible. So that's a very important part of it. The culinary experience will be part of the open house again this year. That's going to be another thing that we're looking forward to, where each building will have different things to sample, which will encourage our families to go see the entire program that we have. We have done something like that in the past, and it's been very, very successful. We're hosting a thank you barbecue for the volunteers who helped support the opening of Building 27. So we're excited for that. It's coming up. And then we are also hosting Rodell on the 21st as part of our 2-year grant for the middle school CTE programming. We're also hosting, obviously, we talked about before, the open house, the community open house on the 6th of November from 5 to 7. The Hellenic University Club and OCS are working jointly for a beautiful presentation on the 7th of November, beginning at 6 p.m. Shout out to George Acolias, who's helped us quite a bit with the planning on this one. And that should be a very fun event as well. We'll have more information as that comes on. I'd also like to say that we have received notice that we have advanced in the YAS Prize Alumni Prize as a finalist once again. So Jackie and Juliana, I'm sorry, Jackie and I will be representing us to pitch for another large prize in Miami in November. So we're looking forward to that as well. Hopefully we can have as much success as we had the last time. So good luck to all of the members here as we push that forward. Going back to what we were doing with the Hellenic University Club, that's going to be a really cool event. I really encourage as many people to come as possible. I know we're looking forward to it. It's an award-winning author, historian, and filmmaker, Peter Yakoumis, who's going to speak about the Balkan Wars of 1912 and 1913. Odyssey will be offering the tour of the campus and will be, you know, co-hosting a nice refreshments hour thereafter. We want to announce that the gala date has been finalized, January 31st, 2026. That will be our fourth annual gala, and it will once again be at the Blue Ball Barn. So information about that is coming out soon. We'll have it very, very quickly. New vestibule doors are being acquired for Building 21 and a few single or doors around the campus. We're going to utilize the safety and security grant money for this, and we're waiting for install dates from our contractor. As I mentioned before, for out-of-state travel, I am going with Jackie to Miami, Florida for the YAS Alumni Prize pitch on behalf of the school. That's November 4th through 6th. And Jackie Brand and her class are going to Longwood Gardens, one of my favorite places, on October 16th. And Melissa Tracy and her class are going into Reading Terminal Market in Philadelphia on November 5th. And that's it. That's it for my parts of it. And then I'm going to turn it over to the academic team for the next parts.
You're becoming a local. You didn't call it Reading Terminal Market, so thank you.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be a big no-no.
Welcome to Delco. Please enjoy your stay.
All right, I'm going to turn it over to our building level teams.
Thank you.
Juliana and Ioana, if you wouldn't mind taking the reins here and helping us guide this through for all the buildings.
Yes, of course. I don't see if Chrysoula is there,
Thank
and
you.
I know that she's on her way. Are you there, Chrysoula?
I'm happy to go if you want to go backwards.
Yes, Ashley, let's go backwards. Thanks.
No problem. Good evening, everyone. Are you going to
Missing
put mine
microphone.
up there, or am I just going through everything verbally? Just double checking.
Say it again if we do
Are
what?
you displaying it, or am I going through it verbally?
It's on screen.
Yes.
Oh, okay, perfect. So, in terms of our monthly recap, we have had a great year so far. Homecoming was a great success. We had over 200 students attending our homecoming dance, and our whole school had a pep rally as well, so they had a great time. This week, we also had a blood drive where we collected 34 units of blood. So, thank you to all who were able to help donate. We will have another blood drive in the spring, co-hosted by our HOSA and our NHS. So, if you have the ability to donate blood, please keep us in mind for the spring. In terms of academics, this is going to be the same across K-12, but everybody completed their first interim over the course of the last couple of weeks, and interims were distributed to all of our families. At the high school level, all of our 8th through 11th graders took the PSAT last Wednesday. So we will get that data back in about 4 to 6 weeks, and we're looking forward to diving into it deeply to be able to get very specialized for our students. In terms of other things, our seniors are hard at work. We had Launch Into Your Future Week this week, where we had outside visitors from DOE and local universities come to help support the college application process for our seniors, which was really exciting for them. And the buzz is out there for all the college applications. In terms of behavior, we had our first PBIS culture field trip today. So students were able to cash in points to head over to the Christiana skating rink. We had about 125 students do that, and they had a great time. And so students are continuing to earn and spend points on different things as they emphasize their Fullerton-Moe values in the school. When we look at some upcoming events, we are wrapping up the full first marking period. The last day is November 3rd. We have a lot of CTE field trips over the next month or so, and our first Trident Award ceremony on November 10th. And then we are hoping that our current 7th and 8th grade families join us for our high school open house. And if you know of any rising high school students in the community, we would love to see them as well. Do you want me to go over my culture and academic school-wide plan at this time too?
Yes,
Okay.
let's do everything.
Absolutely. So we have five goals at the high school for our academic or school-wide plan for this year. So the first is to increase student recognition participation. So 90% of students will be recognized at least once for something throughout the school year. We also hope to boost staff recognition by having 100% of our staff receive at least one public acknowledgement annually. We want to improve our climate survey results. So we want to see a 10% increase in school pride and sense of belonging responses by May 2026. That's using those panorama type questions that we've talked about previously. In terms of attendance, we are hoping to achieve a 95% average daily attendance rate. And in the SAT, we are looking at raising our proficiency rate on the SAT math and the SAT English reading and writing by 7% each, respectively. Our academic focus areas of growth are curriculum alignment, lesson plan focus, and aligned tests and practice. Whereas our culture areas of focus are Dean's List implementation, Tier 1 incentives, and our MTSS, our multi-tiered systems of support. That team is being led this year by Mr. Boyd, who is our new culture and climate assistant principal. So that is one of the major things that he has been working on as well. We also have our Dean's List incentives, like our culture trip that we had today. We have other trips that we've done. I took 10 or 15 students to Wegmans for their points that they wanted to spend last week for their lunch. So different things that we have available for our students for PBIS. We also have a principal's cabinet, which is all of our student council presidents from each of our grade levels that will start meeting. Their elections are tomorrow. So we're excited, or actually, they started today. So they will be elected within the next week or so, and we'll be able to start having those meetings as well. In terms of classroom routines that we are sharing across the building, everyone is doing do nows on paper, and there is daily writing in all of our classrooms. And then other things that we are continuing to do are our student celebrations. So we have a OWLS student that students can earn. We have the Trident Award that students can earn, and then we also have Athletes of the Month, which we are, I believe they are taking the pictures for the Athletes of the Month either yesterday or today. For our lifers, we have a lot of celebrations with them. We had them celebrated at our most recent pep rally. They'll have a lifer breakfast. We'll do senior recognition, lifer recognitions, and at graduation. And then for the staff, we have a weekly golden apple recognition. So our staff have a golden apple trophy that they pass from staff member to staff member, which is a peer nominated award for going above and beyond. We also do weekly shout outs and peer to peer circles. So those are just a few of the things that we're doing at the high school. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ashley. So it was a very nice summary for all the things that you do in high school.
So many things.
Yeah, so many things. Any questions for Ashley?
Question. The state testing and that and the FBAC SATs and BIBL and all those other state tests tend to be a autopsy at the end of the year rather than a better gauge of how our students are truly doing. And one of the things that shows that is the math scores on the state scorecard for us. The middle school and intermediate school seems to do okay, but the SATs are surprisingly lower. Is that because that's the first time most of these kids have ever taken the SATs, and that's the only test that counts,
No.
whether they take
So,
it
yep.
or is it something else?
Yeah, I can share a little bit about that. So if you look at the state average as well, it is also significantly lower. There's a lot of things that happen for that SAT math that we are targeting a lot of improvements in that area, but it is definitely an area of concern and of an area of improvement for us. When we look at the way that they choose to give us a percentage there, they have a cut score essentially that they expect that students reach for SAT level of math proficiency. To get what they would call proficient score or a college ready score, it is a 530 or a 540, depending on the year. Last year it was a 530. So if you look at the difference in terms of ELA, for example, that one was a 480. So it's a 50-point jump in just that alone. So that also helps represent some of why of our we have a higher percentage of students that meet that ELA goal compared to meeting that math goal. A 530 on the math SAT is a pretty challenging score to achieve. It is not something that's super like easy if you've been even meeting like grade level goals. Generally, students that have not taken at least pre-calculus are going to really struggle with some of the questions on that test. It has a lot of trigonometry, a lot of pre-calculus included, or like topics that are also covered in pre-calculus. Whereas students that are taking the SAT in March or April of their junior year will have not completed all of those topics. Furthermore, we also have an issue with the way that they calculate the way that those things go. So if I were a student, for example, I can count and I can tell you names of students that apply to this that have a lower score in that March or April school day SAT, and then they retake the SAT on a Saturday and they improve their score by 50 points, 30 points, even 10 points, that higher score does not count towards our proficiency rate. So even if they are now deemed proficient and meet that cut score, we still do not get credit, so to speak, for that in our proficiency score, even though our students are starting to achieve that level. It is something that's a state level challenge that we have kind of brought to their attention as well, that we would like to see that changed. But that is something that we are internally looking at just to see what those levels would be.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right,
Okay.
Ursula, I heard you're in here now.
We're going backwards, right?
Yeah, we're going backwards. So Mike will be next.
Okay.
Do I have to speak loudly or something? I don't know where I'm going to project my voice in a certain direction.
Okay.
Black box.
Wilson. Middle school academics goal setting meetings are complete and the first round of observations are underway. We have also hit the first midway point of the first quarter. And grades should be out already. I've heard this and it said it would be out this week. IRENE diagnostics have been completed and we'll begin our targeted approach to help increase student achievement.
in those areas that students need to improve upon. Behavior-wise, middle school continues to see a decrease in hallway and transition issues compared to last year. Eighth grade has a PBIS award field trip planned for the end of the month. And five students so far have spent 1,500 Dean's points, Dean's List points, and cashed that in to be my co-host on the Morning Connection over the show that we have every morning. Four alone this week. So that has proven to be a pretty popular option. And 1,500 points is not something you just accrue in a couple days. So they're actually using, you know, saving them up in over a couple weeks or so and using them, which is pretty awesome and rewarding for me. Events and celebrations. Last week in this very lobby, we had our T-Cheer Finals competition. We had nine groups of students compete live on the morning TV show. They created their own team cheer and performed it for everybody on the whole school. Went really well. The winners were announced on Monday. It was a seventh grade group of Minotaurs, which is one of our seventh grade teams. As their reward, oddly enough, they got to eat lunch with me, which was very interesting. To spend, as always, that was time with seventh grade girls. The soccer team, our boys soccer team, and the volleyball team are both undefeated at this point in the season and doing very well. Both coaches are doing a great job. And then most importantly, the kids are having a great time. Our first dance is this Friday the 17th. Right now, there's a little over 200 kids signed up, I think, which is bigger than any of the dances that we had last year. So that should be a nice event. We're in the middle of a ton of field trips as well. Dr. Marlonis took her Greek culinary classes to Ramsey Farm last week. Catherine McCullough has two field trips coming up. And you guys pay attention enough to know that Ms. Wynn is taking her BPA team everywhere all over the planet at all different times. So they are doing those things. You know, we've had four or five in the last couple of weeks of work. In terms of our cultural and academic plan, this year at the middle school, we're bringing our culture and academic plans together into one clear goal. We want the middle schoolers to take ownership of their academic path and to take ownership of this building. We are operating under the belief that two things can be true. Learning can be hard work, but it can also be fun. We're starting with a big change in how we structure our school. This year, we're reconfiguring all of our grade levels into a team model. That means teachers will work more closely with one another around the same group of students, which will make it easier to share information, coordinate support, and celebrate success. For students, it means belonging to a smaller team within the larger school, a group they can identify with and take pride in through team activities, competitions, and even team spirit wear, which was handed out this week and is making its way around the building. The goal is to build community and connection. Every morning, we're using our morning connection time to recognize student birthdays, team accomplishments, special events, club information, and a whole lot of other things to just bring the kids into a more communal sense in this building. Our restorative room will stay in place as a space for students to reflect and reset instead of just being punished and removed from class. And through our Dean's List and PBIS points, we'll keep awarding students for living up to our TMO expectations. We've set some clear, realistic goals for ourselves this year. We want to cut suspensions and referrals by 25% from last year. And we want to increase student engagement by 20% based on SEL meeting check-ins and end-of-the-year student surveys. Just on a side note from that, we think we have three new clubs this year alone that have been started, so we are moving in the right direction with that. We have a debate club that has just started. We have a Heart and Soul, which is the equivalent of Girls on the Run, that's a different name. One of our first-year teachers, Jasmine Lowe, is starting a group specifically for African-American females. So that is just, I think there might be a couple more. I don't know, spend all your money, but so we are working our way there as well. We're aiming to keep the kids in class, create a connection with the school, and grow academically and socially.
On the academic side, we're keeping the same spirit of structure and teamwork. Our target is for 60% of students to reach proficiency in both reading and math on the SBAC and iReady. Teachers are embedding practices of SBAC style questions right into their lessons so students can get familiar with the types of problems they'll see on that test. We're also refining our WIN time. WIN stands for what I need, so we can provide more focused academic support based on students' individual needs. Our PLCs are working more intentionally around common assessments, data, and curriculum alignment, so every student gets a consistent and high quality learning experience, no matter what class they're in. Each grade level also has its own focus, tied to our group pillars that connect to character and personal growth. Sixth grade is Know Thyself, focusing on self-awareness and identity. Seventh grade is Everything in Moderation, learning balance and responsibility. Eighth grade is Ever to Excel, encouraging leadership and striving for excellence. These themes fit perfectly with our school's vision, helping students discover their passions, build strong skills in math, ELA, and Greek, and learn to love learning itself. Through academics, clubs, sports, and the arts, we want our students to see that school is more than just grades. It's about growing as a person, too. And we're making sure our communication stays strong all around. Parents are getting weekly updates, staff get quick daily briefs, and a Thursday communication, and students hear directly from one of the administration every single morning. Our plan is blending cultural and academics into one approach, one that supports the whole child. We're focusing on structure, connection, and consistency while celebrating growth and effort along the way. The big picture is pretty simple. We want Odyssey Charter Middle School to be a place where every student feels like they belong, where they can learn at high levels, and where they're proud to be part of something bigger than themselves. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
The SBAC tests at the end of the year, again, all Odyssey. Are you going to, do you have the data to share the iReady?
So iReady, we have the iReady, it's done, and they are a pretty good indicator of where you are. So we know that what children basically get grouped into three bands, background. So we know where they have landed and what targeting approaches we need to take.
Will you be able to share that with the parents, the parent teacher?
I think it's gone out. So every teacher has that data, and they share it with parents. And I think it was told to go out, so I probably should. Checked on that, but yeah. Okay, good. It went out.
Yeah, great.
So, probably about a week or so ago.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
we don't want surprises at the report card or at the end of the year.
So yeah,
that's good. Thanks.
That would also be a good thing for starting for an academic community. Mm-hmm. I have a question that takes us back a little bit to the PSATs and the SAT for some kids just before. Does the school provide the students with the techniques, the tutoring of the techniques that they should use when taking those sorts of standardized national tests? Yes, test-taking strategies, but specifically for the SAT and PSAT, it does.
I don't know.
That's a
question. Oh, that's cool. We just
don't. Because it does improve. I'm not talking about what they cover academically, which, yes, would be covered. I heard that before. But just specifically for those techniques that can improve those scores by at least 10 to 20 points, just because they know how to omit wrong answers, how to move forward, how to time themselves, what types of things they need in all sections of both the SAT and PSATs. So I and who can answer if the school does that?
That would be Ashley.
Ashley, we're looking at you.
Yep. I had to step into another room because my children are having dinner. So I can speak a little bit to that. So we do look at the specific skills that are involved in taking the SATs and PSATs. One of the professional development sessions actually that a lot of our teachers attended this past Friday was about that in particular, and looking and diving into the different levels of questions and how the questions are structured so that they can properly utilize their own questioning in their classrooms on a daily basis to mirror those activities. And so one of the things that they're actually also working through and getting students familiar with is the fact that all of our SAT and PSAT tests are are administered digitally. So they utilize the Blue Book app to do that. And that is something that College Board has moved to. And so we had a specific session with our staff about the transition to the digital PSAT and SAT, as well as the questioning types, how to utilize the calculator on the Blue Book app, et cetera. And then students are getting training on that in their seminar courses as well. So they take a seminar once a week with a small group, and that seminar includes SAT and PSAT prep in it as well.
So we don't bring anybody from out of the school to teach them specifically those test taking techniques, but there is some training, I understand.
So the teachers take the training and then utilize that training in the classrooms, but there is not, we do not bring an outside consultant in, no.
Sister Gargonia told me years ago that I would not have a calculator in my pocket. Now they have it at the SATs. How's that fair?
They're literally built into the PSAT and SAT. There's a calculator built in, the Desmos calculator.
So they'll never know the anxiety of pencil breaking.
My calculator ran out of batteries when I was taking the ACT, and so I definitely felt that anxiety, but luckily they will not have to deal with that.
A lot of testing trauma to me.
Oh, yes.
With that free number three pencil, do you think will that work?
All right, did we move to the intermediate school, or are there more questions?
One more question. Earlier on, you had mentioned a notable increase in, or I guess a decrease in behavioral issues in the transitions between classes and in the hallways, something that came up in conversation a couple times last year. What do you attribute that better behavior to?
If you've taken a tour of the building, what we've essentially done is we've put half of each grade on each wing. So this bottom floor in the south wing now, that corner is a group of eighth graders, and that corner is another group of eighth graders. And for the majority of their day, they are in that side of the building, and it's similar upstairs with the sixth and seventh grade. So in comparison to last year, just kind of had teachers placed in some made sense and some didn't make sense, but you might have had ELA there as an eighth grader and your Greek class could have been on the farther side, and this is the main congregating point in the building, and so we've eliminated this as the main congregating point in the building. And then there's also like we're allowed to use the side doors as exits. This is basically just the main door. We're trying to use all the different areas to flow kids in and out. And I do think teachers are also just doing a better job, also because they're in the same group. You know, like if you're not in the hallway you're supposed to be in, you're a stranger, which doesn't, you know, but they know you're not supposed to be in that hallway. And so it's like, what are you doing shit? And so then they've got to answer that uncomfortable question. And so it's cut down a lot of it. So I think the structure of the building is definitely.
So converting the admin to the classroom space really has a day-to-day positive effect on you guys.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we've been able to put two classrooms in there. We were able to put support offices in all of the old business office and HR rooms. Yes, that has been super helpful.
That's awesome.
So it sounds like you strategically placed where classes are so that you've improved the flow, more direct routes from one class to the next.
We're trying, yeah.
Reducing the possibility for all of the intermingling.
Yeah, we have a short transition time and the whole body. So
excellent. Thank you.
All right. So we move to the intermediate school.
I believe Sula had a plan to share the K to 5 school update because Dr. Phelps couldn't attend. So is she's
all right.
Person, I think. And then I can share out the culture and academic plan after she's done.
Wonderful. So who's Sula?
For K to 5, we have many, you know, we're very much on the same page. So that's a part of it. This is the time of year when we are we've done our testing. We're now working on our intervention and we will be back in academics. All the buildings are circling back to make sure that our behavior and our incentives for good behavior are strong so that we can focus on academics. And now we're at the part of the year where we're starting to set goals with our teachers and sort of the classroom more officially. And give feedback on that for the academic goals. So I have my two principals for me to share about specifically our building and those plans, but all of us were working on the thing that GFS.
The pacing guides were created over the summer by the teacher, so that helps track what teachers are teaching.
Yeah. So it's become much more systematic, K-5. So there's, we've been finally developed a curriculum a few years ago. We're all implementing curriculum. We now are on a pacing guide with common assessments, and those assessments are now being used in a true structured PLC. We finally adopted that the PLC is not just a planning time, but it's a time used to specifically look at data and Yeah, if we're good, if anyone has any questions at all, Ms. Cattle, the principal of climate and culture. She's going to talk about the behavior plan for our school and our climate and culture plan that is so necessary for the foundation for the academic.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Nadia Cattle. This is my second year here at FAC. So I'm really excited to show you what we've been kind of working with to take to decrease behavior and increase positive climate and culture down in the lower school. There is a link in the program to show the handbook that I worked on this summer. The handbook helps with common language and common expectations for teachers, say paying close attention to the major and minors to give the teachers more accountability for their textual management and to give us an overlook to see who really needs that training for trauma, ACEs, or just regular classroom management. We have a lot of new teachers in our building this year. A lot of them are early teaching. They just started teaching, like just 1 or 2 years, or just graduated. So needing that additional support, having that handbook really helps them. And anyone new to IOC, it helps them see what our main goal is as far as building climate and culture with our language. So we use FELA, which is for thought, inclusion, learning, and organization. And this year we've implemented owl's feet instead of saying walking feet. So we're really trying to allow a mind, an owl, a group culture into the language that we are able to say to the teachers. We made a goal this year that we really want to decrease the amount of referrals that we have through our SIT, which is our student intervention team, and through our SEL support. So we have a counselor and we have a behavior specialist that's working together, and we tier them so that the counselor was more of the tier one. We say more of the soft love and guidance and language and building character and building relationships with students, where our behavior specialist deals more with support the two tier two and tier three students who may need more intervention as far as behavior management, whether it be through self-regulation or just understanding how we work together at IOC and what their success is going to be and how it impacts their academics. And with that, we want to be able to decrease by 30% in our referrals from last year. And by doing that, we look at our data monthly and we look to see what our trends are, where we see receiving referrals the most. Is it from the classroom itself? Which classrooms are sending in the referrals the most? Is it from the playground? And of course, looking at our disproportionate data to make sure that we're not targeting certain students, but also supporting students that need it, and making sure that the referral is an actual referral, which is something that we had to clarify, that we're working to clarify with teachers and helping them to understand there's a difference between classroom management and there's a difference between a student just not being able to meet those tier one standards. And those things are what we want to look and interact, because that gives us a trend that we need to understand what behaviors we need to work on as culture, as needed, the APA culture and climate, and what that discipline looks like in the building so that it's across the board. So this year we're holding teachers accountable. If they're not really putting those tier one strategies into place, then we let them, we're getting them to understand you're going to have the behaviors. You didn't set the structure. You didn't set the expectations. You're not using the language. So that's a reflection time for that teacher and with the admin to help support with those things in place and then to see if the behavior to decrease or if we need to move that student to tier two. So we're not over-identifying students. If we're academically, we're not over-identifying students for behavior. We also wanted to increase by 20% increase in student parent volunteers. We have a lot of parents that want to come in and volunteer, but the process is a little lengthy. So our goal is to increase it at least by 20% to have parents come in, not just as secret readers, but also to actually come in and volunteer, whether it be in the cafeteria, out in the playground, or field, or just coming in and just being like a parent, but with extra support and having that background done. And then 50% increase in parent play and community events. And that 50% is outside of the events that's already planned campus-wide. So in our MTSS team, we want to have at least every other month one planned community event for the school where the parents can come out and whether it just be playing games out on the field with their kids or having like a paint night or just something fun for them to come in and just enjoy the atmosphere of the building and the things that we're doing here with their kids outside of the park or academic things. Just something fun to go to come. And then also to help alleviate behaviors that we're noticing at recess, we have Dr. Recess will be coming soon to come and help model for teachers how to hold games in, at recess and to teach students games at recess to help cut down on the hand to tag, because tag always needs to turn. So Dr. Recess is going to come and show us some other things that we can do for students. And we also have the school tour, which is a fundraising that we did last year to help raise money for our end of the year event, which is the carnival that we did last year. That was great, but we want to really amp it up this year to give the kids something to look forward to outside of our monthly catch outs that we already do. Our first one is Jungle Johnny's, we're going to bring animals for the kids. And then every quarter, we plan something bigger and bigger to cash out for, and they use their dojo for that. The dojo is also something we use for constant parent communication and to help increase the behaviors that we want to look for people. So there's four things that they have that they can use dojo for, and it's the F, the I, and the O. So anytime that the student is doing that behavior or that expectation, they earn a point, and those points go towards their catch-up. So that is our main goal, which is to increase VLO, increase the language, increase the Greek culture within the female theme and the honor and letting kids understand what that means and just making it more involved for the community to be able to access the thing. And when you get a chance, you can look at it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Over the instructional plan, who is controlling that?
Were they able to
open it up and have a lower school instructional plan?
Yeah. Do you want me to start? I'll start with
But wait a little bit.
Yeah, so you can see it too.
Thank you. Thank you.
So if you can go to the mission and vision slide. So, you know, the lower school went under a lot of changes this summer. We, you know, had some teachers move out, many new teachers move in. And so our first PD of the year, we did some real soul searching to figure out who we are and how we connect with the mission and vision of Odyssey Charter School so that we could get off the ground with a common understanding of what we, you know, how we value the Greek aspect of our school, how we want our community to look like and connect with it, what we want our classroom behavior to look like, what we want our learning. So I think the big takeaway that I would just like to share from my principal lens is that we started really delving into our namesake, the Odyssey. Thinking about why we are named the Odyssey. And there we're all everything we do this year is sort of themed around that. And as you know, the Odyssey, the mission poem about an adventure, a journey, a difficult journey for a hero to Ithaca is humbling.
Can you who's controlling the
there we go, yes. So yeah, the Odyssey was all about It's all about a struggle, an adventure that has a lot of struggle in it. But in the end, our hero gets to Ithaca, his home. And but finds that, you know, even though there was a challenge to get there, that the journey was worth the struggle, because the learning that went on is more about the journey than the destination itself. So we're trying to visualize all of our academics and our behavior growth and our students this year in terms of that journey, in terms of an odyssey. So we understand that our students need to understand what their destination is. They need to really like revere that destination. It has to be a treasured place that they want to get to. They have to recognize that there's going to be challenge. They have to be comfortable with that productive struggle in order to get there. And they have to be able to map out their path into the chunks that are achievable, so that they see themselves making continuous progress. So all of our students are going to be creating academic maps for themselves that you'll see at conferences at the second conference of the school year, where they literally have taken their academic goals and broken them into subcategories in terms of standards and benchmarks that they need to meet, and they're going to take a lot more ownership of that journey.
And will be part of the self-reflection.
So just basically, our teachers as well, the entire school, we're really trying to get them to understand that there's struggle in part of learning. Learning is an activity. It is not just something that, it's not about the correct answer. It's about the work that you had to do to get there, the experimentation you had to do to come to an answer, and the questions you had to ask yourself. So, and then tying all of our learning back to the origins in Greek, because our teachers have to understand a lot of the origins of many of our disciplines that we study in school and the reason we can go to school do originate from ancient Greek culture. So our identity this year is very much about that journey. So Karen's going to talk more about how we're going to get there.
All right, so our goals. Can we go back to the goals one? You want to?
Seven.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, so our goals by the end of this year, we're aiming high so that we can reach whatever we can. But 85% of our students should be able to read at a grade level text and benchmark in an appropriate grade level subtest for the universal screeners, which is one of the universal screeners that we're using K-3 is DIMLS. So KN1 should be on grade level with nonsense word fluency, which will be their building block for reading. And second and third grade should be good with oral reading. The way we're going to get there is we're going to strengthen tier one. We're going to concentrate a lot on small group instruction. We're going to drive PLCs and staff meetings with data-driven insights. And all of this will actually build a, what is collective efficacy, where everybody in the community feels like they're empowered with strategies and the knowledge to contribute to the joy of learning for students. So with all of these, with tier one, we're going to design and deliver instruction using evidence-based practices, which maximize engagement. And small group instruction, we're going to be using a lot of win time, class time effectively. We're going to leverage data to drive the instruction and outcome. So with PLCs, we're going to have to be required to come in with some data of how students performed at a test that they've given and come in with it so that we can do an item analysis, look at which areas students are struggling with and whether it's individuals that are struggling or is it like 60% of their class that are struggling with the concept. And then as we do this and we create this community of learners with staff and family events where you would have like reading nights and things like that where families feel more engaged and also teach them the skills and the strategies and games that they can play with their kids with math. So all of this is actually aligned to all of our pillars that we have. Know thyself, like helping teachers and students understand their needs as learners and capitalize on their strengths. Everything in moderation, staff are encouraged to use and are directed to use a variety of instructional practices. So we're going to have direct instruction, small group, independent practice, and balance the structure with the flexibility, learning how to adapt, having everything in moderation. Ever to excel, we're going to embed a growth mindset and continuous improvement in tier one instruction, especially because that's when the teachers teach the most. Tier one is when they're teaching the whole class. Filipino is our guiding principle, which is collective efficacy, to build beliefs that all teachers and students can make a positive difference. So when you have a community that feels empowered in such a way, then that's where true growth and you can actually move in the inquiry structure. And the collective efficacy piece, we are going to be looking at, you'll see it on your document, but planning, really zoning in on planning this year. Teachers are expected to turn in their lesson plans, but it's not just the lesson planning that enhances teacher effectiveness, but it's the internalization of the lessons. The teachers, and there's a lot of emphasis on teachers knowing what they're going to be teaching and promote student engagement, and this will ensure a structured learning environment. Our PLCs, which are our professional learning communities, will foster collaboration and share best practices, and they will refine their instructional approaches. We build a community again, build a community of learners by admins and peer walkthroughs. So we're doing a lot more walkthroughs so that we can have an early identification, not just of things that are struggling, but also of things that we could use as models for other teachers to come in and see. We're going to have very targeted professional development, which we actually, the conversation, which we started at the end of last year, about what it is that teachers are seeking to learn, what is their pain points, and then we providing the professional development accordingly. And then we're introducing instructional rounds, and then every marking period, we're celebrating students who have either improved or have consistently been very engaged as students with PhilO awards every marking period. And yeah,
sorry. Go ahead. If I can say, I think the big thing, the big takeaway for the lower school is that there's been a tremendous amount we can leverage from really a system of having that structure that we have. So the fact that now all teachers are on the same teaching guide, that all using the same assessments from the curriculum, they put the same one, it gives us it gives them a common pathway so that they can work together as a team to truly analyze data, plan their instruction together, and then break out into their smaller groups to target the different skills that students need. And so we were all on the same path with that. It's very challenging to be able to guide or support teachers who are so desperate amongst how they were facing situations that they're using. So now they are truly a team working together to leverage their time and support
students. Yeah. So going on to strengthening that tier one strategies where teachers spend a lot of time on. We're doing baseline observations using a particular tool called the instructional practice guides, where we're looking for specific points and to observe the interaction among students, teachers, and the content. Like, how are the teachers engaging with the content? What are the students being asked? Is that rigorous enough? You know, are they thinking? Are we, you know, all of that. Professional development, again, we've used feedback from teachers at the end of last year, and baseline information from ITGs, PDs, and staff meetings. And that will be more tailored walkthroughs. We're identifying trends, concerns, and creating a culture of continuous improvement. So it's not just that one person is has to improve. All of us are also developing that growth mindset, that all of us have spaces and areas to improve. We're implementing a high-quality curriculum as advised by the state. Coaching new teachers will be coached for effective teaching practices. We're going to incorporate systems of collaboration with peer walkthroughs, instructional rounds, and PLCs. Yeah.
I think if you guys want to ask questions, there's much more in there. There's a lot of detail. I think overall, we've had everything that you can build into. Any questions? Point. I'll give it to get to it.
So the school-wide goal is the reading goal of 85%.
Yes.
So you said you guys are using Dibbles to track that in terms of, So the curriculum, so Dibbles is a time assessment. There's 1 minute to complete each activity, but our curriculum has nothing timed in it in terms of, if we go back to the test taking strategies and how to implement that. Have you thought about filling that gap in some way so that the test aligns
with the curriculum? So
if I can jump in. So I think that the way that Dibbles is structured is being kind. It recognizes that most of the activities it's doing actual life when it comes to reading are not timed. So I think it's time more to give a piece of the text. When I look at our Dibbles scores already, there are classes that are used already from the previous year. So and grade levels that are. So I don't know that the timed aspect is one of the things that is causing some of the biggest delays. We are going to focus on three specific tests that have to do more with accuracy than speed. So that's one way, that's one of the focuses.
What is that then?
The when we're looking at the decoding one, there's one that has to do with the words are correctly and the fluency one. There's one that is
more on that number.
So focus on the accuracy we want to get that older students.
And also the intervention is very targeted and uses research-based curriculum to teach the students what they need to be, where they need to be. So even though it is time for this one, it is very one of the best.
But for the teacher, I know that that's one of the barriers to them doing well. Because I think what we want to see in the end is actually that they score well on these levels so that they can read a grade level test, right?
Yeah.
So I think
this can help us at reflection at the end of the year, because just because someone isn't reading it to the pace of 1 minute doesn't mean they can't.
Yeah, they can't.
So then when you explain to parents, oh no, your kid is a fluent reader,
yeah,
but they scored below
baseline.
Why part
of the role for that student should be? So we're
so
using
we can identify certain texts that are considered grade level where students.
But I think Dibbles has value.
Yes.
I guess it's, you know, in our instruction day to day, we're not saying, okay, 1 minute. Like, no, I think the idea of being timed is also stressful. They're five.
Right.
And you're like,
what do you mean by the time?
Dibbles know what interventions to do. We want to use Dibbles to be able to predict later aspect of achievement. There is kind of a formula there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to use Dibbles. Because it is a recognized indicator, but the goal is really that they can read those grade levels, right? Like we want them to be able to.
And we've also partnered with reading events who are serving some of our students. They're either taking students one-on-one, she's there 3 days a week during the daytime. She takes students one-on-one to kind of go over gaps in the skills that they need.
We can definitely, we can circle back and talk about like looking at one of the items that you're taking away the time portion and doing much less of it for
I just mean filling that gap, thinking about
okay,
right. Can't teachers know students are caught, that's right.
Yeah.
Competitors work otherwise, but that
and,
accurate of a
yeah.
And starting next week, Reading Assist is also offering we've started to compile a list of students who can be attending the after school.
Yeah.
So things like that, we're trying to be very strategic in how we are filling the gaps.
One of the things that the governor ran on, one of his points this year was education and raising the literacy rate. And when the Secretary of Education, who is an actual teacher before she got into
mm-hmm.
the administration, one of the things she recognized was making sure that at tier one, where the kids are with the teacher, is actually valuable and focused and meaningful. So you need the time.
Yeah.
You need the instructional
mean,
work,
yeah.
The curriculum to do it.
Right.
And one of the things that really struck home is after that meeting, you know, I was walking out with Elias and Jack, and I'm like, we're kind of on track
mm-hmm.
for everything they were talking about.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
and that was our half of the table. The other half of the table was taking notes. And
yeah.
I'm like, wait, we're doing that. We're focusing on we've got the tier one.
We are
as
yeah.
the focus.
So those pacing guys with everyone being on the same page, it means that administrators can go in. It means that the interventions go in. We can go and watch and see exactly what should be going on in the classroom. We can support that tier one even more than when it was, as you said, from the school board.
Yeah. Her goal is to get everybody reading a grade level.
Yes. So that kind of goes with our
mm-hmm.
that students should be able to read a book that is
on their grade level. We've also, you know, helped teachers today sitting down and like, do your donors choose? The governor is giving away $750. Did you ask for math materials last week? Come with me. Let's go.
Very only personally helpful.
With the state funds and private funds, they have like $7 million.
Yes.
We won't get much of that. And that's the whole state. It'll be a bunch of little grants, but they're definitely on board. And you guys sound like you're really on the right track.
Okay.
And I think statewide, the literacy grade in third grade is like 30%. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, shall we move to the immersion school?
We never did intermediate. We never did the school-wide plan for
intermediate. I know. I see in the list here, lower school first, immersion, and then intermediate. That's why I'm saying to go to Nikki.
Καλησπέρα. Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you? I hope everybody is well. I'm going to just give a small summary of the Odyssey Charter School K-2 Greek Immersion Program. So the K-2 Greek Immersion Program at Odyssey Charter School continues to advance its mission of developing children who are proud of their heritage, confident in who they are, and ready for the future. Instruction in Greek and English focuses on building biliteracy, academic excellence, and social and emotional growth within a joyful, culturally rich environment. An instructional vision and goals. Students will achieve strong Greek language proficiency in listening, speaking, reading, and writing while demonstrating academic growth in core content areas. Target outcomes include 75% proficiency in both ELA and math. Progress will be monitored through DIBLS, iReady, and math screeners. Greek language development will be assessed through performance and speaking, comprehension, reading, and writing, ensuring cross-language skill transfer. As far as our culture and climate focus, the program celebrates both academic excellence in the spirit of RIT and kindness and citizenship in the spirit of Philotimo, monthly peers of excellence awards, quarterly assemblies, and daily classroom practices reinforce these values. Recognition systems such as the OWL leaves, the Hero of the Week, and the Philotimo and RIT Fridays encourage effort, respect, and teamwork. Teachers are celebrated through peer-nominated awards, shout-outs, and staff joy initiatives that foster morale and collaboration. As far as measurable outcomes, student recognition, we want 90% of our students to be recognized at least once yearly. Teacher recognition, we want all our students to publicly be recognized and acknowledged. Attendance, we want to achieve 95% average daily attendance. It's not as easy as you might think, because parents think that because they're young, they can just skip school. Referrals, we would like a 10% reduction compared to the previous academic year. ELA growth, documented growth in DIBLS and 75% proficiency. Math growth, 75% proficiency and growth on Math Screener and iReady. And Greek language proficiency growth in speaking, comprehension, reading, and writing. Through this integrated approach, we believe that Odyssey's Greek Immersion Program continues to blend rigorous academics with cultural pride, cultivating students who embody excellence, kindness, and global citizenship.
Thank you, Nikki.
You're very welcome. Are there any questions for me?
In Greek, please.
Yeah. Nobody will ask. No, thank you, Ioana. That's so fair. Well, thank you. If you ever have any questions, and I have sent the board the detailed plans for both culture and academic, please do reach out to me. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Nikki Moo. And now it's time for the intermediate school.
Last but not least, right?
Exactly. So we have the two APs today. Tonight with us, we have Kelly Mervine, Assistant Principal of Academics, and we have Mr. Boyd, Assistant Principal of Culture. I guess, Kelly, we'll start with you because I see you already.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So our mission at the intermediate school is to prepare every student for academic excellence and global citizenship by honoring diversity, practicing equity, and building a restorative, inclusive community. Rooted in the Greek concept of philotimo, our work centers on character, integrity, and purposeful leadership. Tonight, Rob and I will briefly highlight our academic and culture plans that will bring this mission to life. Our academic goal for this school year is that we will achieve 60% proficiency in ELA and in math on assessments like Smarter Balance and iReady, with our longer-term goal of 80% proficiency school-wide. Each grade level will focus on a core philotimo pillar. Third grade is aligned to balance and moderation, fourth grade aligned to self-knowledge, and fifth grade ever to excel. To support student success, we're implementing SBAC-focused assemblies, goal posters, and incentive trips, student-led conferences that help students take ownership of their learning, and instructional priorities that include rigorous standards-aligned assignments, win intervention blocks, which is that what I need time, and data-driven PLCs. We'll also strengthen teacher practices through coaching, lesson plan and gradebook audits, and walkthroughs, ensuring alignment to our school goals and our instructional best practices. And Mr. Boyd is going to take it from there with our culture plan summary.
Awesome. Thank you, Kelly. So I'm Robert Boyd. I'm the assistant principal of climate and culture. Our focus this year is primarily on relationships because we know that culture is going to drive achievement. So a couple ways that we're looking to do this is we're training staff in restorative practices and tier one strategies to ensure that 90% of our students report a positive relationship with a trusted adult by the end of the year. We're strengthening family connections through targeted orientation sessions and outreach. And our goal is to reach 100% of our new families by the end of this month. We're using ClassDojo for our PBIS, our communication system, and incentives. Last week, we had a mobile zoo come to visit our students. We are doing biweekly cash outs, and we have several other events throughout the year. We're are getting our students engaged. They are participating in the morning announcements. Our MTSS team is going to be working with students to create PhilO school-wide expectations that they can act out and share with their classmates. And we're bringing back our PhilO awards. So through MTSS and PBIS, our aim is to reduce referrals by 30% this year. And lastly, we're focusing on staff culture as well. We're doing monthly events to help celebrate our community, build morale, and make OCS a great place to work and grow. We're really excited for the year ahead, and we're confident that this plan supports both the academic success and the emotional well-being of every student at OCS. So thank you for your continued support and belief in our mission. And do you have any questions?
Thank
Say we did the one thing. Finish now before we roll it down. We celebrated our first month of school by serving the breakfast that was catered by Evie and her wonderful snack staff, and we have a sign of now so that we all fair room to rotate.
And the admin team
was the first call.
And when it comes to the EVs, school safe.
Yes. Yeah, and thank you. We'll still be good when it's from us.
Not really a question, but a comment for all the admins. I just want to say thank you for all the quantifiable goals that you set up this year. Actually having a benchmark and a goal, a projection, an actual number that you can achieve. It's really encouraging to hear that and see that. So, well done. Thank you. I actually wrote the question. So, thank you for.
I actually do have a quick question. It's about computers. It's for all the, I don't know what they do in the high school, but I know they stopped sending computers home with kids, but teachers are still asking for iReady to be done at home. Is this going to become a problem in the future? You know, a lot of kids have computers at home, but not everybody does. I mean, you know, sort of a wide variety of people. So is this going to be a disadvantage for students? I think it's going to be an issue.
At the lower school, we don't send computers.
We don't for what?
We don't, and we don't ask them, you know.
Well, so you know, the teacher took a different approach. So we're looking at sort of being a chain practice, not my account. It's still creating. But it's been that way historically for a long time. And I don't want that. Because we think that there's more benefit, especially at comparative competition, there's so much work is doing about tactile development and, you know, fine motor skills like that. I would much rather that we send home activities for them to do that either are going to engage with their own environment, like, yeah,
or are going to engage with their parents.
Yeah.
So, or parents.
No, I totally agree with that. I just,
yeah.
I wonder, you know, I'm still thinking that's all, yeah, when you're, you know, a middle schooler who, you know, stops taking the Chromebook, which is fine, you know, we have a computer at home, but first you're just still requiring ready stuff.
So, yeah, so lower school's kind of not required, but I did in the past, we did that at, we
well,
had
I could say strong.
Strong, yeah,
it's not so great or anything.
Definitely something for maybe all of us to consider. We can talk about it in the future, but I think that an alternative would be able to maybe send home like those bigger boards done in the past activities that can be done at home. Like, there's so many things you can do with math that you don't have to do with your environment around you, or even reading and writing, you have to be with your family. So we can do a lot of different activities that can probably bring more value just because of my default. It's probably more applicable for the public.
Yeah. And you're working towards a goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you run into
any I've already does have some printables.
What was that?
I already does have some printables and things like that.
Okay.
So if they've run into
issue.
Any issues,
okay.
We can print some stuff out. Like we're using some of them in the restorative now. So like after you do your restorative piece, you might do an iReady math worksheet.
Gotcha.
So there's different things like that to address that.
For math, the printables are, I mean, just as a middle school parent, printables over the computer all the time because students have the opportunity to actually write out. And I even go back and say, here's where you made a goof. But when it's on iReady, you just see that you got it wrong.
I would love to take credit for that.
The fact that the printables are available is
iReady has a whole slate of resources you can print out and things like that. So if that were to become an issue, they could handle it.
Take credit for it. It was his idea, but you're actually doing something about getting it done. So keep it up.
So do parents know that?
If they don't, we'll put it in our communications week.
Probably be worth putting in the communications week anyway. We had just rooting around to find them, but
we'd be able to find them and send them like in. So with IBM, if it's an issue, it's not a hard problem. So.
Excellent.
Kelly, did you want to add something? I saw you trying to say.
I did. I just wanted to wait for the right timing. At the intermediate school, we are not assigning iReady pathways. However, it is an opportunity for students to engage in learning at home if a parent is opting to utilize that. But the pathways are utilized during our What I Need time for just 20 minutes a day. But it's a really great opportunity for students to do some hands-on activity during that wind block, but then also be on their pathway for math or reading at either of those times.
Don, you're doing a great report. Because I think we've done all the schools, right?
The Greek report you said, Ken?
That one?
Yes, because I have also the CIA report to discuss tonight. But let me start with the Greek report. I'm going to be short with both reports. So we are now week 7, and it's very obvious that it's not a honeymoon anymore. So it's really learning. And learning doesn't mean only academics, as everybody said already. It's learning, you know, in all aspects. We had, as a school, we had our first PD last Friday. And for the Greek department, the whole Greek language staff was with me for the day. We had several activities and learning areas to cover. And we have another PD also on Monday, the whole school. So it's a lot of about now supporting teachers to support our students. On Friday, we spoke about the focus was proficiency learning targets for the Greek language, for homeroom teachers in the immersion, and for non-homeroom for the FLES program or GLA, Greek language arts teachers. And a goal that we added this year is that we want our students to start self-evaluate their knowledge in Greek and know where they are and for them to know what is their goal. So this way, all of us, all parts of the learning will be on the same page, because if when only the teacher knows what the goal is and doesn't, the student doesn't know, they cannot work together. So this is new. It will take time for students to learn how to self-evaluate and know what their goals are and all this stuff, but it's a goal for the year. With this goes the test that we have, that's only for the immersion program in middle school. We started that 2 years ago as a pilot program. Last year, it was a real test, the real thing. And this year, we continue, of course, with 6th, 7th, and 8th is a state test for Greek language. It's called AVANT. And the state chose to have this test, to hold this test every Friday, sorry, every February. To give time to the teachers to get the feedback from the test and adjust their teaching for the rest of the year. So we are preparing for that as well. Another thing that we are, another area that we are working on is to support our teachers, new teachers from Greece. We have 8 new teachers, as you know, from Greece. With the process here and all the paperwork, it's a lot of work. Specifically, this month is to help them transfer and have approved their degrees from Greece and DOE. The process is huge and it's not easy. So we work closely with HR, of course, to help them finish with their paperwork. All the departments, it's not only the Greek department, that we started the DTGSS evaluation. So the teachers set their goals for the year and observations have started for everybody. At the same time, the Greek department works on promoting the program. Some of you might seen the article that we had in Kathimerini. Kathimerini is a big newspaper last week, and they had an article for the school. They asked me for an interview, and because of the quality of the newspaper, we had many messages and phone calls about the school and the program. So tonight, 4 o'clock in the morning for us, 11 for Greece, we are going to present the school in the national TV in the morning show. They are going to give us 10 minutes to have a discussion. It's going to be me and Mr. Pappas presenting the school, representing the school. Another area is working and building new collaborations with universities in the United States and in Greece, and continuing the collaborations that we have already. And something new, actually it's not new, we have been working on that for the last year, but now we work together with other schools and other people from the Greek American community, because there is a big goal for the Greek American community to establish the Greek AP course. So this is big. There was another committee about 15 years ago that they tried that and the response was not positive. So now we try again. We launched a campaign for this AP Greek. If you have a pen and paper, you can write down apgreek.org. You can all go there and sign to support the campaign. We are going to form a committee with professors from the universities, with K-12 leaders, to write a white paper, why Greek, why now, why Greek AP, I mean. And the College Board is going to read the white paper and decide in January 2026. So it's a lot of work to be done for that. And if we are not successful this year, we continue and we are determined to have AP Greek in the next 2 to 3 years. So I would say that's all for the Greek department.
Questions?
Good luck on the news.
Yeah, especially at that ridiculous hour.
Yeah.
And with Elias being in California, what's that, like 1 a.m.?
Elias is like, actually, for Elias, it's going to be 1 o'clock. For me, it's going to be 4 o'clock. So it's wild, but it's fine. It's going to be fun, actually. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Before we do the finance report,
please do the CIA report.
CIA report?
Yes. Let me do the CIA report. I'm going to be fast also because many of these items have been covered already. So the professional development, we said about the PDs, and the new item is the visit from the LARP next week. And they will have meeting with our administrators in all buildings. Regarding instruction, CIA is meeting with building level administrators twice a month, and they discuss professional learning topics for PLCs. Two initiatives for this fall, improving PLC structures and expanding our balance assessment strategy for SBAC. And then we have walkthroughs by academic leadership. We have the first academic walkthrough tomorrow, actually, in the intermediate school. They are waiting for us and we are ready for them. Assessment, there is a list of all the assessments. I'm not going to read them. You know, you have the report. I'm trying to save some time here. There are dates and all the types of the assessments for the year. Multi-language learners update. This year we have begun restructuring our multilingual learner program to improve efficiency. The multi-learner staffs and select teachers are attending professional development around the English language development standards. And this will equip teachers to better support multilingual learners in all subject areas and also to be more successful in the annual access test in winter. And that's it from CIA as well. And now I can mute. I think it's Deborah.
Financial update, we'll get to that in a minute. Transportation, is Josh on?
Please, right.
Now, you'll cover the bus and stuff too.
Yeah.
Then you hear from special ed?
Is Sun here?
The second time mute button shield. Okay. Anything else on the big sheet there?
Can we do approvals for travel?
Yep, it's on my list.
Thank you.
Got a little arrow pointing to it. All right, need a motion to approve the travels as mentioned prior. It was three trips, Philly, Miami, and I can't remember what the other one was.
Longwood Gardens.
Yeah.
And the Roden Terminal.
Right.
Or Reading.
Yes.
Depends on how you count it.
Need a motion.
Motion.
Thank you.
And I'll second.
Also, thank you. Any discussion? All for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, unanimously approved. Thank you and have fun. And Jackie, good luck in Miami. I'm sure we'll see you before then. Finance report.
So if you want to stop sharing, I can share. All right, well, hello. This is the finance report for September. So we are currently 25% into the fiscal year.
our revenues. The final budgeted revenues are to be $61 million. So far, we have received $33 million, which is about 54% of the budget. Last year, we had received 51% of the budget. So we're actually doing a little bit better, despite the fact that we have not yet received our preloads from the districts. We are all eagerly awaiting those preloads. There's been a delay because of the assessments, the reinvestment. So what we've heard is that the banks, who's holding all that escrow money for the tax year assessments, they were told from Castle County, I guess, to hold the money and not send that money in because they were still reviewing the assessments and doing a reassessment. We were still in review for all of that.
Even though that's last year's money, that's okay.
So Bob Baca from Christina School District, he's the one that's kind of spearheaded and been representing the districts of all of this. He is trying to encourage the county to get the funds sitting at the banks to the districts, so the districts can then distribute the money to us. They obviously don't have the money, and they're not able to give us our money because they are only allowed to use a certain bucket of money to draw that money from. So they can't use any Division I money or any of that stuff. So we're kind of, our hands are tied right now, waiting for that money to come through. He's hoping that he's probably going to be able to have that money released this upcoming payroll cycle that is for this week. So we're hoping by next payroll cycle, we'll have that 35% preload. So some of the other money that we got is about $17,000 from other state. We got $13,000 from local. The only two districts that we've gotten money from for the preload is Smyrna and Indian River School Districts, the only ones that got it. And we do actually have about 5 kids coming from down there, so we did get a little bit of money. Aftercare brought in about $28,000, $37,000 in cafeteria funds, $16,000 in that rental for the St. Thomas building. Our student body activities, field trips and things like that are just now getting started to ramp up. So we've collected $2,000 in that. And then other donations and other revenue were about $51,000. The final budgeted expenditures are about $53 million, including the contingency. To date, we've spent just under $9 million in encumbrance of about $13 million, which represents 28% of the budget. Last year, we were at 25% of the budget. So we are a little higher. If we look at the web report, I did get a couple questions already, so I appreciate the questions in advance, so I can kind of go through some questions that I received. One of them was the building material, building maintenance and custodial line. That number is a lot higher. We are currently at, I just lost it.
456.89.
Yes. So it is higher. Last year, we were at $218,000. We're at $298,000 right now. And this is because multiple reasons. One of them was that we did have a sewer backup outside of Building 27. That building hadn't been used in quite some time. So once we started using that building, we found that there was a blockage and we had to get that taken care of. It was outside of the contractor's scope of work, so it had nothing to do with what the contractors did.
We couldn't blame it on the contract.
Yeah. But it was good. We caught it before it backed up into the building, so that's good. We had some extra landscaping costs. We had to take down some of the trees and shrubs and everything around the outside of 27. Our trash removal line was a little bit higher because of the demo for 27, so we had extra dumpsters that were here. Custodial supplies was a little bit higher. Again, that was just cleaning up Building 27 and getting it ready to open. Flooring, we took care of the SLT area, and there were some other smaller spaces that we really took care of as well. We also had to paint all the 27, which I believe some of that was outside of the contractor's scope. And then we were also touching up other spots around the building. HVAC, we've had some difficulties with our units. We did have about 10 units go down. So we're maintaining those units right now. So the maintenance cost on that is a little bit higher than we want, but to replace those units will be even higher. So we're working on a plan to get these units replaced, but it's not going to happen all at once. So we're going to be dealing with some increase of HVAC expenditures until we're able to get that replacement schedule in place and get everything eventually within the next few years replaced.
Have you earmarked areas where you can draw from and reallocate to maintenance to cover the rest of the school year?
Yeah, we're looking at that now. I think there will be some lines that we'll be able to drop. We're still digging into it to see exactly where we'll be able to dive into it. If you look at where we are with some of the other spending, one of the other line items was the line item for capital furniture. The other expense line is at $6 million. And that's just a drop off for everything that's not listed on the sheet. So that includes travel, consultants, postage, telecommunications, equipment rentals, insurance costs, vehicle maintenance repairs, body activities, office supplies, clothing and linens for uniforms and stuff for the bus drivers' facilities. Computer supplies, fuel for the buses, we've increased the number of buses, so our fuel line has gone up a little bit, athletic equipment and furniture. So that's kind of our catch-all, and we're actually doing pretty good with that line right now. So I think that there will be
a lot of the stuff you mentioned that are in other expenses seem to belong to some of the categories above it.
So not really in terms of salaries. That's his own thing. Utilities is just the power, Delmarva Power, the water, sewer, things like that. The bond payment was not included in the other expenses.
You mentioned furniture, and you mentioned gas costs, and you mentioned some of the things that, but logically fit into some of the other sections that are already there. I'm just curious as to why they're in other expenses.
So this is a document that was created before me. So I wonder if these were the items that they were more looking at. And so we can take a look at this and see what else do we want to bring out even further. So if we want to look at some of these other to see vehicle maintenance or office supplies, computer supplies, the actual fuel line. Maybe we can break it out further to show exactly where we're at with some of those.
You have a budget for each of those?
Yeah.
So maybe separate from the web report for next month as we figure out how to reshape this, maybe just give us a one page of other, mm-hmm. not as part of the web report, just for so we can stop asking. Then we can ask you specifically, what's up with the fuel or what's up with this individual line.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have worked with our food provider,
D150.
We had to increase the credit because we've increased buses and we just want people to manage paying the bill. We had a $10,000 limit and we were going through that very, very quickly. So we had to increase the line of credit so that, the turnaround time of making the payments and then having a reset and move forward. So I'd be happy to write that down so we can see where.
And also let us know where you feel that you can draw from to reallocate to where it's needed in building maintenance. Thanks.
You've been in the job for a couple of weeks, so this is your report. So any way you want to rearrange it, feel free to. I don't think anybody dictates how this looks. Just that it's done, So if you think it makes more sense to have these categories and put these other categories in the other one, that's totally okay.
Okay.
And no, that's it. Any other questions?
I just have a note, not for you, but Elias started at facilities, so we didn't do transportation spec at IT or HR.
You want to handle that? Because they're all yours.
I can.
Before you do that, can I get a motion to accept the web report as presented?
Can you accept the web report as presented?
Thank you. Second?
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions? Call for vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, so moved unanimously. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I'll have more questions. All right, Evan, if you could double back and hit a couple things we missed.
Sure. Transportation. We're working to lower our prices for buses. Buses came in exuberantly high for a new bus for this year. They looking at new buses for purchase, they were, I believe, $178,000 to $180,000. I see they come out with some buses that they purchased for this year. They have no allocation for them. So we might be doing a bus purchase early. We might have to talk to Deb and Santander. I will not purchase any bus at the comments until we get the funds from the district. So we are looking at that, and those prices came in significantly lower. They are not used, they're new. They're just a lot of buses that they bought. They bought 25 2005s, and it would be silly for us to not jump on at the price that went up slightly over $100,000. So compared to 180,000.
Yeah.
We're actively interviewing new drivers. We got a couple different school districts reach out to us saying that they want to. Not only charters, but district schools, they want to drop their transportation, and they need help, they need support. While we're not ready to do that, we're still waterfalling for another year, we might do another purchase of buses, or we've been kind of partnering with other districts and charters to help them figure out how they can get kids to school and get kids home. So we've been through that before, not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the PD day on 1010, they did a rodeo, which is a school safety competition. No one in the department won, but a lot of people went out. I think that there were like 22 or 23 people who did go out from our Odyssey team. So they did showcase, and people had a really nice time. It was a really big team building activity. I am not going to jump on special education. It's not my department, but it is in there.
It's okay. If we have any questions, we can reach out
to her. You can reach out to Sun, sure. From the IT standpoint, they're continuing to finalize some of the new needs for the emergency building. They're working on average of about 50 IT tickets a day. That's what they're getting through. IT began emergent, working on the emergency planning on the second floor. I'll jump into the second floor of building 27 in a little bit. And they're working on the front of office, the emergent building, and some new software that they've been using down there too. And they're tracking some Wi-Fi issues that we're having down there. They've been working with Verizon specifically on that. So, in HR, you can also read through HR if you'd like me to.
Yeah, it's okay. We got it in advance.
There we go.
Okay.
Question for you. You mentioned bus purchase. This is separate from the buses that were just acquired.
Sure. It takes, well, let's say 3 to 6 months from the initiation of the board to the final purchase and or receiving of them. The sooner that we do it, usually the better. Especially this time right now, districts aren't buying buses yet, or people aren't initiation. The initiation of buying buses hasn't started yet. It won't start that, districts won't start that until, I want to say late November, December. So they start the idea of purchasing for next year. Now theirs is a little bit different. They don't purchase their buses. The state buys their buses. We buy our own buses. So at this time, especially over the summer, different bus companies will get used buses back, or they'll have an overage in inventory. But that's what we're seeing from IC. So we might just have that a little bit.
So you're planning for next year
we are planning for both. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
So, and we're always planning for next year. This will be the last waterfall up, so it'll be the last growth in our senior program. So we still, no matter what, have to purchase two buses. But if we can get a bus that's, you know, call it 40% off, it would make sense to buy more than less.
Sure.
If we're allowed to, yeah, we'll say that out. I'll not say
it's
yes.
It's on the recording in another room.
Yes.
Of course, that 40% off is where buses were priced 5 years ago.
It is. It is just sad. It is. It is crazy how expensive buses have become. And I don't want to say that they have us, right? But if you need buses and there's no used buses, and Delaware is a small state, people aren't normally selling buses to districts, and we can use a bus for 14 years. Then we can make it a spare as long as it runs and it passes an inspection forever, to be candid. And we've always talked about the idea of recycling through buses, but we've seen with our own fleet that it was less expensive to put a new engine in a bus that now runs properly and functions the same than spending $150,000, right? A $45,000 engine is a lot less expensive than a $150,000 bus.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
I agree.
Yeah. And HVAC isn't getting any cheaper. I'll tell you that from a facility standpoint.
No, it isn't. So, by the way, do you guys think
that? Yes, we're good. We met today. We moved our meeting, and yes, I will talk continuously now. So, we moved our citizens' budget oversight committee to 2:30 to accommodate some of our teachers and some of our families. So, we did meet today. We are reviewing P-card transactions a little bit differently, and the way that they're produced was decided by the committee. We reviewed transactions, I think we were on 3, 6, and 9.
Yep.
Right, and we pulled all of that factual data because there's a lot of different purchases that we see. A lot of things do come from Amazon, not only because it's next day, but candidly, it is the least expensive. So from school standpoint, not only trying to save money, but some of these things, especially for teachers and for staff, is an immediate need sometimes. So we're doing a lot of purchasing through Amazon and then deviating that building 23, where all that stuff is unloaded. And then we look through those transactions, and we're going to do the same thing next month as well. And correct me if I'm wrong, those transactions will be 2, 5, and 7. Okay.
And that's a digit in the which?
The 10.
In the 10.
Yes.
That way they truly get a random.
And that is where our auditors do, correct?
Yes.
So just following suit from big companies, which we are a big company. Yeah.
Beautiful.
It actually worked out really well because it gave us a better sampling, and it didn't just target those small purchases or just the large purchases. It kind of captures all of those in between, just completely random. Really good.
All right, moving on. Committee formation. So we need 3 committees. We need the finance committee. We need to build out the CBOC committee. And then we need a governance committee. The first one's the finance committee. We need a board member to chair it. And then we need some community members and some family members to be part of that. Out of the gate, I would expect them to meet with you, Deb, to talk about the cost analysis, yes, and budgeting, and maybe working on a web report with you as well. And that's a 10,000 foot view. So they may get into some weeds, but not too much weeds. So I'm looking for a board member who can, or two who can chair that committee, and then we'll come up with an invite into the community and families so that we can properly populate that community committee, and then put together a timeline for meeting. We'll take minutes. It'll be an official committee. So who is willing to volunteer to do that? Said hinting at Dimitri Gambolos.
Ken, I'll be glad to participate in that committee.
Outstanding. Anyone else want to share the burden out of the answer? Silence. Okay. All right. Dimitri, you'll run it for a little while. We'll get you some more help. I'll bend elbows and talk to you fun to help. And we're going to look at auditing, reporting, and forecasting for the future. That's the goal, to make sure we have enough money to keep the kids learning, because that's the entire reason we're here.
You know, it can put me down.
Okay.
That allows me to keep stretching my data analytics legs.
And be fabulous. All right. The CDOC, how many people do we have on here?
Just 11. Okay. We are fully
staffed out here. And there's supposed to be at least five.
Both five between. More than five. Yes. Well, and it's five from Odyssey. And it's the business office team, myself, Elias Adams, Wingsbury, and then there's six others that are from our school community, both three parents and three teachers.
Outstanding. So,
yeah.
So
I always invite
we should have a board member on there, and I think our treasurer would be that, and he reached out to me today regarding details with CBOC as well as what kind of training he needs for that.
And the fiscal financial training.
And the answer to that question is the training we all need, which is the Delaware State Department of Education fiscal finance training, which you guys will all get links to later this weekend. It's three parts. It looks relatively painless. But it's important that we do for all new members and everybody else every 3 years, so which means we'll install them.
Yep.
And so that's our October, November adventure.
And you said Costa is joining the CDOC team?
Correct.
Welcome, Costa.
And the last one is governance. We'll talk about that next time, because we'd like to get out of here at some point. All right, so that's the committee formations. I don't think I need a motion. I think they're supposed to exist, so it's going to move forward. PTO report, I don't think we have one. But that's okay. They're still doing wonderful things.
PTO gone.
Yep, I see PTO on.
PTO, would you like to toss anything into the ring here?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm actually at work and I'm not prepared to talk tonight, but I will report at the next meeting.
That's okay. Just keep doing all the wonderful things that you guys are doing.
Thank you.
All right. Any new business? Cool. Anything for the good of school?
Building 27 report,
please.
Sure.
That was the other thing.
I promise you, I'll keep it short.
Yes.
So we opened Building 27. That was really exciting. I do want to talk a little bit about finance on that end. We ended up spending for this first phase $2.909 million. There were two addendums that were included in the first phase of that contract, which included $463,000. One of those phases was the gang bathroom remodel and ADA compliance feature. And also adding stalls to the classroom bathrooms, so there's privacy for students. We spent the whole entirety of that fund, $147,000, on rooftop and mechanical. And in true learning essence, I forced our teams of our roofers and our MEP, which are mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers, as well as our contractors and Service Unlimited, figure out how we can save money on the rooftop and mechanical work, and we saved $189,000. So when the final budget line item came in, we're projected to save around $320,000 on the first phase. We did push a lot of extra hours on our contractors the last 2 weeks to get that building up and running. I want to say there was no one working less than 60 hours those final couple of weeks, and that's all overtime, right?
Projection was 120.
There you go. The projection is 320. Around, I'd say a little bit over $300,000 that we're going to save. There will be a change order in the contract. That money then would push on to the second phase, obviously, of Building 27. And I was looking at this last week when that final bill came in. But mid-range build-out, because this isn't new construction, and it's not a high-end construction, but mid-range construction in Delaware runs you around $75 to $150 a square foot. around the, I estimated, because we did a lot of work inside, but also outside on concrete, on ADA compliance, on bringing water into the building, on concrete outside of the building. We did about 4,000 square feet of concrete on the outside, on the backside of the building, on new steps. So call it roughly 34,000 square feet that we finished. We came in at $85 a square foot. So $10 over that mid range, right? But we were really spot on. Talk about phase two. We were given the green light because we pulled out that warming kitchen, right? So we are serving from the satellite kitchen in building 27 currently right now. We were waiting on the final certificate of occupancy and then the ADA compliance documents from Newcastle County that all came back positive, that all passed. And then it takes 4 to 6 weeks to be given the green light. And we're actually given that green light today to start the functionality of that warming kitchen. I'll see it taking more than a week, week and a half. And construction on that, on the positive side, is going to be behind the barrier, which is in the kitchen. It will begin 1 month. So, and then we're finalizing. We did push really hard. If you notice the electric in that building on the walls, it's all centered lights, right? You know very well. This week, Monday, our goal is to all options on the switches. And we did that to push the functionality to get the CO, right? It was just simpler to make it motion centered lights, right? As opposed to putting all the switches in. So we are going to be doing that. This week, we will finalize. There will be switches in every single room on Monday, and then by the end of this month, switches everywhere else that they're needed. On the positive side, we had a little bit larger of a landing strip to look at the HVAC units on that building. And Elise talked about this for a second, but there are 11 AC or HVAC units that function second floor of building 27. Nine of them are fully functional, and that means that the AC and the heat both work, both components work. And there are no leaks in compressors back then. We saved a lot of equipment from the older equipment. Now, granted, that's 1987 equipment, right? So we do know that. But I'm comfortable with saying that it's going to show, again, probably a $300,000 to $350,000 in savings on this second floor renovation. But we are going to reserve annually 100.
In addition to what you mentioned before?
Yes, yes. This is on the second floor. We get all new HVAC on the first floor. And we are still going to do all new ductwork on the second floor of that building. And that's going to run probably around $300,000. But the HVAC units themselves, like new HVAC units, are probably going to save us around $325,000. But there is a caveat to that, right? Because we're going to run them as we're running that building. We're doing preventive maintenance on them right now because I want to know that if a unit goes down, I want to replace it now before we open that building. So the caveat is that we're going to continue to save in that budget and talking about looking at finances long term. $150,000 a year, no matter what, that will just be geared towards building 27. And the functionality of those units. And there may be one unit that goes down between now and the second grand opening, or there might be three or four units, right? But we do have that funding, and we will have that funding set aside. So, and I do want to hit on a little bit of the functionality of the HVAC throughout the campus. And we've done a lot of repairs, right? We know what happened in building 21 to the boiler. We've opened up the other two boilers that we have on campus. One of the boilers in 26, and I will put this in the document so you guys can see it, is costing more money than its efficiency. And it does make sense to replace that, and it will pay for itself in probably 2 years. And we are going to then schedule that out through the next probably 3 to 5 years. But HVAC, I'm not going to say it's a burden. It just needs some TLC, right? And we have done a lot of repairs. When we see a 50% cost, overage costs, we replace because it doesn't make sense to throw in $25,000 and replace the units for 42, right? So we are looking at that very meticulously, and we are running a lot of units and gas systems and candidly old antiquated systems that don't really have much of them anymore sometimes. with that being said, but there is a significant savings on not only the first floor, but the second floor of building 27. And I'm excited for that grand opening and the long range.
Good. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sure the finance committee will expect a project end report with all the details and stuff.
Perfect.
So.
Perfect. Happy to have you.
Absolutely. Any other business? All right. We do need an executive session. I promise it will be brief. We will not come out of it making any decisions. It's more of a discussion about real estate and qualifications for job, as listed on the agenda. I was actually at the end of that section.
Good job.
So if you could put together a room, if you guys can head out, because we don't need you for that.
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone else. Yes, try to let me know if I can. Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
Beautiful. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we're heading into executive session. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you for attending. All right, greetings, and we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. As I said earlier, we had executive session, no decisions were made, no motions to be made after it. We don't do any decisions in executive session. It's just an opportunity to talk about confidential matters. I would love a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
So seconded, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Call's meeting adjourned at 8:59. Sorry it kept me so long. Everybody had a wonderful evening.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.